core of the heart of Ajamir, the husband of the prostitute. But with the resounding voices, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, forbade them to do so. A Vaishnava, one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's aura carriers. Because Ajamira had chanted the holy name of Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yama Dutas not to touch him. By speaking with the resounding voices, the Vishnu Dutas threatened to punish the Yama Dutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamira's soul from his heart. The aura carriers of Yamaraj have jurisdiction over all sinful living entities, but the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, are capable of punishing anyone, including Yamaraj, if he wrongs a Vaishnava. Materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments, but this verse clearly explains that the soul is within the core of the heart. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were extracting the soul of Ajamir. Similarly, we learn that the super soul, Lord Vishnu, is also situated within the heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayesha juna tishtati. In the Upanishads, it is said that the super soul and the individual soul are living in the same tree of the body as two friendly birds. The super soul is said to be friendly because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the original soul that when the original soul transmigrates from one body to another, the Lord goes with him. Furthermore, according to the desire and karma of the individual soul, the Lord, through the agency of Maya, creates another body for him. The heart of the body is a mechanical arrangement. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayesha juna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Yantra means a machine, such as an automobile. The driver of the machine of the body is the individual soul, who is also its director or proprietor. But the supreme proprietor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's body is created through the agency of Maya, Karmana Devanetrena, and according to one's activities in this life, another vehicle is created again under the supervision of Daivi Maya. Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Tratkaya. At the appropriate time, one's next body is immediately chosen, and both the individual soul and the super soul transfer to that particular bodily machine. This is the process of transmigration. During transmigration from one body to the next, the soul is taken away by the aura carriers of Yamaraj and put into a particular type of hellish life, Naraka, in order to become accustomed to the condition in which he will live in his next body. Tamam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Devi. Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Purnityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. My dear King, the oracarius of Yamaraj, they're snatching the soul from the core of the heart of Ajamil, the husband of the prostitute. But with the resounding voices, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, forbade them to do so. Yamaraj has one scribe called Chitragupta who is writing down into a book all one's sinful activities. At the time when a particular sinful soul leaves the body and is brought to Lord Yamaraj, something very amazing happens. Chitragupta will come with the books where he has put the record of one's sinful activities and then read this record, the Auflistung, to Yamaraj. Now, when there is a particularly sinful soul, Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, who looks very cultured actually, he's dressed in white garments and he's also sometimes called Dharmaraj, the Lord of the Universal Law. When he hears the very sinful activities of a particular soul, he does become very angry, and according to one Purana, he adopts a very heavy form, just like Lord Nrsimhadev. He became very angry when Hiranyakashipu was so demoniac, and he took on a very, very fierce, ferocious form. So also Yamaraj does become so angry that different arms come out of his body with different weapons ready to punish the conditioned soul. However, then a person comes to Krishna consciousness, it is said that this process is stopped. Even if he was very sinful, Chitragupta will just look at that person with great amazement. Then he will go and close his book and throw the book of the records away. And then the life can begin, you know. So imagine, just because we are chanting Hare Krishna, Chitragupta has already closed the book. Sorry, that's a little loud. That should be soft. And is very happy that now such a soul doesn't have to come back to, doesn't have to go to the hellish planets, but quite the opposite happens. The soul goes back home, back to Godhead, or it is on the way they come back to Godhead. Of course, we know in order to actually really go back home, back to Godhead, we do have to come and achieve in this life, and quite soon, we hope, the stage of steady devotional service. Rupa Goswami, he gives the analogy of a little seed. We all know this. This is said so often, so I don't want to really repeat. Which has to be regularly watered so that the plant comes out. In the same way, our Krishna consciousness should grow by regular watering. It's not that we can do this unsteady. We do have to steadily perform devotional service, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and of course, doing our Padasevanam, our worship of Krishna's lotus feet by our practical devotional service. This has to be done steady, just like watering a plant has to be done steady. Now, it is described that there are five obstacles to steadiness in devotional service. Now, let us first, we have some faces looking still so tired. What we will discuss today is how we can become steady in devotional service. Does this have something to do with your lives? Or is it not relevant? Vikramakeshari. Do you think this is an interesting subject matter? Okay, so then please be with us. You know, you come out of the passive listener link stage to the active listening stage, please. Because I really feel this is important and we must focus our mind on this. Now, to start with, one obstacle to steadiness is laya, which means sleep. We can immediately start, very practical. There is a very interesting curse which I want to make you familiar with. You know, Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, once took shelter with Kumbhakarna. And as a who's Kumbhakarna? The younger brother or is he the older brother? He's a brother of Ravana, I believe. And this Kumbhakarna used to sleep for 6 months in a row. Can you imagine this? 6 months without stopping. So after he was killed by Ramachandra, Nidra Devi, who had taken the sleep, had taken shelter with Kumbhakarna, asked, "Where should I go now, where my lord and master is dead?" And Ramachandra said, "Go where the Bhagavatam is recited." And that's the reason why we are sometimes so sleepy and dull when we come to the Bhagavatam class. It is not something essentially wrong with us, it's because Nidra Devi comes where the Bhagavatam is recited and therefore stays there. What do you think now? Now please don't think it is necessarily alright that you fall asleep. Try to fight with sleep as much as possible and dullness in the brain sea. In the brain, but no, that's the reason why sometimes we have such dramatic things taking place in the Bhagavatam. The devotees just fall asleep, or they just go like cling, and they cling out, and they go for a while into the mental space, space thing. So this is one obstacle to steadiness. When we fall asleep doing practices of devotional service are very good. Then comes the next one, Vikshepa. This is distraction during devotional acts. What it really means is that when we perform devotional service, sometimes there are distracting things and we begin to talk during japa. This is an obstacle to nishtha. While I'm saying this, I have to really feel very bad, because this morning I talked 3 times during japa for a longer time, and this is distraction, and you can't really get into a spiritual life if you do this, into a steady performance of devotional service. Apratipati means that you sometimes don't feel able to do your kirtan or your devotional service. Do you have this experience? One sometimes cannot, feels one cannot have any access to devotional service. Even if one doesn't fall asleep, and even if one is not distracted, sometimes it just doesn't work. One wants to serve, one wants to do nice chanting and reading, but because one is not yet on the platform of steady devotional service, it just doesn't work. This sometimes devotees have this experience, they go out on sankirtan, and they really mean very well, but it just doesn't work. Or sometimes you try to preach, and then you have preached so many times, you have maybe even given a similar lecture, and it always worked, and people became inspired in Krishna consciousness. But now you're giving the same thing, and it just doesn't work. Then you say, verhext und zugelegt. But it also doesn't help. So this is called apratipati. Then comes kashaya. This is a tendency which is within every one of us, and it's very bad. This tendency is that we have an instinctive it's like an instinct, something which is not meditated about, which drives us towards anger. We sometimes just become so angry, so much gnev comes, that we this devotee maybe he has hurt us. Then we feel like becoming angry. It's very important that the devotee checks this. Therefore, sometimes devotees say, okay, I don't want to have anything to do with this subject matter, because if I do, I just, these bad qualities come out. I want to overcome these qualities and come to the platform of steadiness. Or greed. We become greedy. Or we have an instinctive tendency to become proud. This just comes without our meditation. And the next is rasasvara, that's the inability to absorb our mind in kirtan and other services. We have another opportunity. If we go to the kirtan, samsara dharana, we hear the hundreds, let us say that, yeah. Some of us hear it already for a couple of thousand times, and we just cannot absorb our mind in the sun. We are just spacing out all the time. Our heart is millions of miles away. These 5 are obstacles to nishtha, and nishtha or steadiness will only come when they are overcome. I may, just to make it a little bit easy to follow, let us hear them again. It's sleep, it's distraction, it's the occasional inability to do devotional service, it's the inability, no, it's a tendency towards anger, greed, and pride, and then rasa vada. Vada means without, and rasa means taste. We have really no taste in the devotional performances. So a devotee who hears these five obstacles to becoming steady in devotional service should become a little thoughtful. First of all, he should understand why it is so that sometimes, although he tries, he cannot just remain on the Vishuddha Tattva platform, that is the transcendental state of Krishna consciousness. The reason is very clearly given. It's because of these five obstacles. No taste, no, just becoming always angry or greedy, falling asleep in devotional practices, being totally distracted, and just being unable to get into devotional service. The reason why I'm saying this is not to spread a melancholic winter atmosphere in the temple. The reason is only to give the devotees understanding why sometimes there are difficulties and what they can do to overcome the difficulties in devotional service. What we can do is really to develop a taste in Krishna consciousness. And there is one very nice thing which helped me very personally and which I want to say today. See, when a person comes to the platform of taste, he will have such taste in chanting and hearing that this taste is much greater than the taste in any other activity. Such a devotee does not feel any fatigue, that is, being tired, when he hears and chants the holy name. A good example of this is Maharaj Parikshit. You remember, when he heard the Bhagavatam, he did not feel the need to even take rest. Non-stop, he didn't sleep, imagine this. And he didn't eat. He just didn't want to eat. It was too much, just a waste of time, eating business. At this stage, when you become totally absorbed in the acts of activities of devotional service, and the example which is given is the example of a little boy. See, I believe a little while ago we discussed this in one of the lectures. I don't know if you were all here, or if, I don't even remember where I gave the lecture, because nowadays one is just traveling so much that every morning when one wakes up one needs to just meditate. Where am I today? Am I maybe in Berlin? No, I'm still in Heidelberg, it seems. Let's make the light on and see. The thing is, the point is like this. When we start in devotional service, our enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness is a little external, just like a boy who has been given a book. He is very happy to have this book, just because he always wanted the book, but he doesn't really know the meaning of the book and grasp the contents. Therefore, the pleasure of the boy with the book is very momentary. It goes away after some time. However, imagine the same boy who learns to read and becomes fascinated by the subject matter which is discussed in the book. His enthusiasm for the book is real enthusiasm, whereas the enthusiasm of the boy who doesn't know how to read and who doesn't understand the meaning of the book is called utsahamayi, false enthusiasm. So when a devotee begins to understand Krishna consciousness as it is, his enthusiasm becomes very strong because he has a very nice taste. Now there are two types of taste. The first is still a little bit shaky. It is called Vastu Vaishishti Apekshini, if you are interested in some technical words. This kind of taste you can sometimes see in yourself. It's a taste which is still dependent a little bit on the excellence of the activity. For instance, a devotee might like to come to kirtan if a nice kirtan leader sings the kirtan. But if the kirtan leader is, you know, sometimes sings the wrong note, like all that happens, then he doesn't feel so enthusiastic about the kirtan. Or a devotee likes to come to a Bhagavatam class which is delivered by a very funny speaker who makes many nice jokes where one can laugh and hold his belly. Then one likes to come, but when it's a philosophical thing, it's hard work, then we don't like to come. See, in other words, our taste on this platform is still dependent on the excellence of the vastu. Vastu means substance of the extent, the what is apparent, what is seeable, what is visible. You're not really at that stage interested in Krishna so much. Or the example can be given of a person, you know, to tell you how weak this taste is. Say there is food, prasadam, and you call prasadam, and the person who has a weak appetite, he said, his question will be, what do they serve today? He's not, you understand? He's not so hungry. He makes his going to prasadam dependent on the external substance. Say, lasagna, oh lasagna, then I'm coming. Or they say, or the answer is, Grießbrei. Oh, it's all right. Fasting is also sometimes a good practice in spiritual life, you know. His appetite is a little weak, and therefore he cannot be described as someone who has strong taste. That's still a quite shaky platform of devotion itself. I think sometimes we are a little bit on this platform, isn't it? What do you think, Darada? It is so?
Yes.
No, you are a philosopher. So Darada has said, so he must be correct. So then there is also the strong taste. That's Vastu Apshini Anapekshini. If you want to know hear it once, you might hear it many times. It's more in your life, so you might recognize it. That's that. Even if there is devotional service, if there is an opportunity for devotional service, immediately one is full of joy. You can sometimes see this when the Sankirtan devotees come back from the book distribution service, and they are in the kirtan. From the first note, they begin to dance, and you know, we old temple devotees, we go like, what's going on here? You feel like something is strange, you know. Not so ecstatic, problem. Why do you dance like this? Just a normal kirtan. And the devotee goes, Akonitai, Haribol, and so on and so forth. Of course, maybe it's not that all of the taste is like this. It may be just because he is so long separated from a kirtan and, you know, so happy to see the deities and so on. But this is what we will come to. At this time, that our taste in Krishna consciousness will take us by the hand and teach us how to dance. This is how the poetic description. In other words, your taste in Krishna consciousness becomes your teacher. It teaches you deep absorption in bhakti. So, I want to summarize what we have said so far. We have to come to the stage where we do steady devotional service. So in order to do this, there are five obstacles which we will have to overcome. Distraction is one. There are many other things. Falling asleep during devotional service. Interrupting. And so on. And in order to come there, we need to have the taste. Now there are two types of tastes, as we said. One is dependent on the external elements in our devotional service, and the other is dependent only on Krishna and the enthusiasm for Krishna. So to get this type of taste in devotional service is actually only possible by hearing about Krishna's transcendental pastimes. If we do not hear about Krishna positively from a pure devotee, we will not be able to relish the taste in Krishna consciousness, and as a matter of, we will waver. Sometimes we are steady, then we are unsteady. Sometimes we chant very good, then the next time we go with a lamenting face. I mean, that we can't change, can't control my mind, can't. So, that's because we have not yet managed to overcome the five obstacles to nishtha, to steadiness, and we have not yet obtained the real taste. So I want to, as you know, it's marathon time, I just want to always say something very which I feel is of relevance to our lives in Krishna consciousness, but not talk so long, because we could talk much more. You might say, okay, we've heard this so many times, we have to get a taste. But Sashinanda Swami, why are you so impractical? This doesn't work. We are here in Heidelberg, or we are here in the temple situation, everything is always the same, we tried it over and over again, but can we expect that after this lecture it will work? Why do you even talk about it? Talk some Krishna Lila, then at least we can laugh a little and feel some happiness in our daily devotional service. This kind of doubt, which I feel is deserves to be addressed, is relevant in some sense. Now, because we are in such a little circle, and you know, when one is in such a little circle and one lectures in such a little circle, it just doesn't feel right to just talk so highly abstract. And since we know each other all very well, we have grown up together in Krishna consciousness, I would really like to tell you something from the heart. An experience in Krishna consciousness which I really feel worth sharing with you after talking about taste. It was last Mayapur festival, And as you all know, some, I don't know, devotees from here were with us on the Gaudapada, was with us. Others? Yeah, you also. Did you come with the same plane, Kadara?
No.
No, you were already in Mayapur. See, our thing was like this. This India plane, again, you know, two days late. So we missed actually for the one, I think 1.5 days. Four days. We missed. How long was it? 9 days or was it 7 days?
Yeah.
So we missed. So we only had 5 days. So when I went on Navadvip Mandal Parikram, I was just lamenting. Oh, 2 days we missed this. Why? What do these Air India people think? You know, never take the plane ride of Air India again. These fools and rascals, always waiting, 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 waiting. And I was a little disturbed in my mind. And then all the devotees came. Oh, Maharaj, you know. Oh, Sachinanda Swami, he is Sachinanda Swami. And I was just miserable. And this is how I started the parikram. And then also I was thinking about our situation in Germany and the preaching, and I didn't feel so. I just was suffering and went like this on the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, and didn't really get into the taste. We chanted, and yes, of course, like all of us, I also went to the center of the chanting and, you know, danced and so on, but I just felt so miserable all the time, and it was becoming worse and worse. And and then I asked myself, how can one get a taste? You're giving lectures to the devotees that they should become steady, that they by having a taste in Krishna consciousness. But look at yourself. You're miserable. You just, only your body is traveling here with your ecstatic god brothers. And now show us, Mr. Lecturer, what you are worth. Show us how you can be practical. I was trying to challenge me a little bit like this. And then came a very nice answer in the form of a lecture where the devotee who lectured, was Bhanu Swami, said two things, and then another devotee, another Vaishnava, said another third thing. How to obtain the taste for Krishna consciousness. And it really worked. It's tried. Tried, tested, and proved. It really, do you want to hear this? Good. First thing is you have to concentrate on your chanting. That's where it really starts if you want to get a taste in devotional service. It's called Nama Ruchi. That's Mahaprabhu's philosophy has only 3 points, you know, for practice, which are easy to start a chanting reform in your life. The next thing is, this is now very important, it's called Jivadaya. Jivadaya is, you have to show some mercy to others. You have to help others from your heart. That's the second principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Jiva Daya. If you do that, you will feel all of a sudden relieved from your own egocentric prison in which you are helplessly imprisoned. And the third point, which is the clue also, is Vaishnava. This is how Bhakti Charu Swami made the point, so I will say it like he says it. Vaishnav Shiva. As we say, this is Bengali pronunciation, Vaishnav Shiva. That the service to devotees. If you just keep these three things in your mind, Jivadaya, no, Nama Ruchi, you know, get into, let us say like this, a chanting reform. Just take care that you arrange your life in such a time, in such a way that you can get the taste of the Holy Name. That's possible in all our temples. It means, especially in Heidelberg, it means you have to go at the proper time to rest, and that's not very difficult. If we can't sleep, if we feel so restless, we can just make a few Liegestütz. This works because that's the trick. If you can't sleep, make a few Liegestütz, but it's push-ups. Then the heart will go after some time, and then usually you can fall asleep. That's the trick. So try it. If you can't sleep at the proper time because the mode of passion is so wild, then do something which is a little passionate, that it's push-up. And because then your heart becomes tired, then you can easily fall asleep. That even works better than hot milk, I found out, at least in my case. Try it, make an experiment with it. Then you go at the proper time to rest, then you get up at the proper time, and then you chant your rounds before. Best is one should be ready before Guru Pooja. I think, Vishwadev Prabhu, that's also your experience, isn't it? If one has chanted his rounds before Guru Puja, then it's a very good day. It's a guarantee for a good day. That's why you can see Vishwadev Prabhu, although he has so much to do always, he just gets up early, does his round, and then he's free to do his service in a nice Krishna conscious balanced way. This is something which every one of us can try in the temple. It's nothing wrong. This is later bad. Yeah. This we have to try. Then, Jivadaya, we must show mercy to living entities, to others. The Sunday feast in Heidelberg is a wonderful opportunity. There are so many wonderful guests, like on Sunday we saw so many who are actually Bhakta candidates. And devotees can reach out to them, make friendships with them, give them prasadam or some aufmerksamkeit, something. Or, of course, we can go and do some book distribution during the marathon from the temple. One can always go to the Heidelberg main station and distribute there. There are many nice people who come. Something we must do to help others in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna becomes very satisfied with such a person. And then, Vaishnava Seva, we must serve the devotees. If we do these three things, it's not difficult to remember these three things, then our Krishna consciousness life will be done full of taste, and then no problem. Then we are steady in devotional service, we feel almost a positive sense of inspiration, which we can share with everyone, and we will go away from the mental nidivo, mental platform. And in this way can become happy in Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for giving a patient hearing to these subject matters. Please do think about them and apply them in your own life in Krishna consciousness. Hare Bol. Do you have any questions regarding this? Yeah?
The question regarding the one story you told.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind why Lokamana Chandra cursed his unrealistic devotees?
Nitra Devi. So the Bhagavatam class.
Like a curse or
I heard this from Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He just told the story without background information, as I have told it. But I was thinking about it and making my own speculations. Uh, The thing here is, I feel it's like a test which we can overcome. Just like when we make we should make arrangements that we are fully awake when we chant our rounds. In much the same way, we should do something actively to overcome Nidra Devi in the Bhagavatam class. If devotional service would be a fully automatic process, where you are just entering into one process like you would enter an elevator, and then as a result you would get to the fifth or the sixth story, then this process would have nothing to do with devotion, isn't it? You don't have to have devotion in order to go to the elevator. In the same way, you don't have to have any active participation activity. If you just go in the Bhagavatam class, and everything is guaranteed from them. I think this Nidra Devi, that she is there at the Bhagavatam class, this dullness comes over you and sleep, it is giving us some impetus and Ansporn to make a conscious endeavor, dass wir eine bewusste Bemühung machen, to really listen with rapt attention to the Bhagavatam and to the subject matter. In other words, this process, the fact that Nidra Devi is there, this gives us, is like a test, which you will find in all services. In each service, preach for a long time, if you manage to become selfless in your preaching and full of compassion to others, if you manage to get the desire to help others, and there are many obstacles to this. One is your own, you want your own pleasure in life, and so on and so forth. So, in all processes of devotional services, there are tests which we can overcome, and I think Lord Ramachandra didn't curse the devotees with this sleep as of such. He just made a test into the Bhagavatam class. But as you know, Vishwadeva Prabhu, there are always more stories which explain more and more stories. I do not know this particular story. I just understand it this way. Ja, sonst irgendjemand noch? Sorry, I was again in German. Do you have another question? No? So you know now how to become steady in devotional service? Huh? What will you do? What is your program?
So, chanting and concentration.
Yes. No interruption during the chanting. Then? Yeah. Yes.
Doing something. For example, serving guests.
Yeah. Jivadaya, showing some compassion to conditioned souls, helping conditioned souls. We will soon get two very nice young aspirants from Bosnia. We will get Samir and Delia or something. I forgot the name. Very nice devotees from Munich who want to come and be in the Bhakta program, and they need your help. Understand everything. So, they don't need your prajapa. You're not angry at me?
No. This is a prajapa. Sarupa is the main thing in Bosnia.
Yes, I know. I've preached that many times. So, do you feel some hope, Vikrameshwari? These three processes? Write them down. Do them. So we are now at the end of our lecture. No one else has something on the heart. That's very good. That shows great enthusiasm, great strength. And don't become, I know many of our devotees are from not German-speaking origins. See, you are now here in the temple during the marathon. Not so many devotees are there. That's always during the marathon the case. All our Pratipada forces, our available devotees are on book distribution. But now you should be personally responsible to keep the temple clean, keep a nice Krishna conscious atmosphere here, so that Krishna will have a nice stay in our temple on the altar, our Gauri Taite dispute field. Happy. Please do not become get back. Just try to observe all the festivals. Gauri Taite want to, festival, but it's part of the program. Gauri Taite want to see devotees. Don't feel, oh, not so many devotees are there, not so nice. Singing, it's so nice to sing with 50 devotees in a temple room, then the vibration is so intense. But come, because now Gauri Taite need to see you, want to see you, they always want to see you, by the way. Come to the programs very nicely and keep everything clean and good atmosphere, so that the atmosphere in the temple is very nice and that the devotees come back at the end of the festival and the normal temple life is there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gauri Taite ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.